Right now, we're going to turn our attention to football. It is time for Stroman on Sports, and we're joined in the studio by the one and only Dr. Debbie Stroman, the host of Cover 2 right here on WCHL. How are you?
I'm doing well in the midst of the rain and the colder weather. It is good to be alive, and I like pulling out sweaters and heavier coats, and reminds me of back home up north.
It's nice. I do enjoy switching to that part of the closet. Like, oh yeah, I remember that shirt from all those many moons ago.
Now, the bad thing is if you don't have someone to do your yard, that you have to get out there and do the leaves, the raking, all those things that take you outside for more than 5 minutes.
This is why I like apartment living or condo living, where like you don't even have a yard to worry about. It's great.
You are very, very blessed.
So, all right. So, a lot to talk about in the football world. Let's start at the NFL, because there are two really big news stories this week that everyone's following. One of them, which has actually made the CBS news report at the top of the hour. Because this was a real nasty thing that happened last night. Myles Garrett's helmet attack on Mason
Rudolph.
Rudolph, thank you. I was blanking on his name during the end of the Browns-Steelers game, which was kind of a boring game. So no one is talking about any other aspect of this game now except for this. And it was a really, really significant thing that happened at the end of the game.
It really was. And it takes away from what the NFL is trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a number of issues that still aren't resolved around how their players show up. And we're talking about domestic assault, violence, all of those things. And we know that most of the guys, just like any other system or institution, most of the folks are good, well-intentioned folks doing their jobs. But then when you have a spotlight of a very violent game, and it's one thing to tackle, to hit a guy, you know, the wrong way, a flag is thrown, you know, people will make comments, oh, that was really bad. But when you see someone take off their helmet, grab the helmet, and use that as a weapon, which is so, so dangerous, the force, the velocity of that helmet possibly hitting someone and, you know, doing major, major damage. Thank heavens Rudolph was not hurt particularly in the sense where he had to go to the hospital or be carted off. But it's just an ugly look for the NFL. And they responded very fast today with a fine for each team, $250,000, as in you all need to fix this in your organization. But also, of course, Garrett possibly being out until next year. So we'll see where it all goes. But right now, everybody's talking about this game in terms of the fight versus this amazing, very, very heated rivalry.
I think whenever anything like this happens, and I remember as a Michigander, what are we up to now? 15 years ago when the fight at the Palace broke out, that whole thing. Every so often, there's some incident like this. And whenever something like that happens, you always get the same exact narrative in commentary afterwards, which is, oh, things are getting worse. It's never been this violent. Are things changing at all? Like, there've been these incidents all over the place, right? All through the history of sports.
Absolutely. Sports, in fact, basketball, the game that, you know, I've played and coached, that's a violent sport. It's a contact sport. It's a collision sport. And so you have to have some sense of control of emotions. Now, there are some athletes, some coaches who believe that they want to get you all fired up, really intense, and you want to harness that and you want to go crush your opponent. And then there are other coaches and athletes who believe in calmness and peace, as in my body will perform better if I'm controlling my emotions. I think someone would have to do a study in terms of championships won and looking at what was the culture of the team. But there is no doubt that this is not new. We've got technology now. We've got cameras everywhere, and we can spot this stuff. But it is pretty, you know, and especially with all the cameras in the NFL now, they have the camera with even within the little pylon as soon as you know, get in the end zone, where you could see up close and personal about how violent this swing was with the helmet. So people are really responding to that.
I remember, this was a couple of years ago now, my this starts with my grandmother. She was going through, like, trying to downsize all of the stuff that she's accumulated over the years, and she gave me this huge, not huge, but like a small collection of old Life magazines from the 70s. Started going through them, and there was one article in particular, and this is from the 1970s. It was a very positive article all about the hit squads that each NFL team had, with very, very big color photos of players just laid out on the field after ridiculous hits. And this was celebrated. This was like, yeah, this is how it should be in football. And that was the 1970s.
In fact, some of our most recognized and awarded athletes, mm-hmm. in particular with football, were because of the violence and the brutality that they brought.
Yeah.
You know, you think about those old pictures of the guys with their big giant shoulder pads, mm-hmm. and, you know, like three teeth missing.
Right? Yeah. You and I are thinking of the same picture, probably.
Yes, but I think about Lawrence Taylor, right? Mm-hmm. The Tar Heel great. Ronnie Lott, you know, there's just so many players that were known for laying you out, and you didn't want to come on their side of the ball. And then you had those big, thinking of battering ram, Merritt for Chapel Hill, but the idea of the running back that will run over you, mm-hmm. and watching the defensive backs getting crushed, you know, with the violent runs of these players. So it's definitely changed, and for the better, safety first. But something like that happened last night, we'll see where it goes. But definitely the NFL is sending a signal. Yeah. We won't have it.
And did the right thing, I think, absolutely. Yeah, so that's going on. Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, so that's thing number one. Thing number two, which was kind of the big story in the NFL until last night and will be again as we get into the weekend, I think, Colin Kaepernick's getting a tryout with 13 now. Are we up to teams coming out to watch him play?
The truth is somewhere. I've heard 8, and I've heard as high as 22 now.
Okay.
There's a lot of mystery in this, and I'll go back to generally I found in life, having been on this earth for a number of years, that people are motivated by money or the media, the attention, and I'm talking about systems. And so the NFL doesn't need any more money. Mm-hmm. They would like more money, but they don't need it. And so media, well, they can create their own media. They can create their own stories. They could ask, you know, Tom Brady to come have some event and create media. They could ask, you know, another player. So what is this all about? Mm-hmm. Is it contrived? Is it a part of Jay-Z's partnership with the NFL to try and bring justice to this matter and help more people who are race conscious, who are socially justice minded, to satisfy those who really are very, very disappointed in how Colin Kaepernick's message was turned into some anti-patriotism thing. Mm-hmm. And so is that a part of it? It is the first time in history where you have the NFL actually saying, we are creating a tryout, because everybody knows any team, any franchise could have invited Colin Kaepernick in to try out. So it seems very contrived. Maybe the authenticity will show up in terms of Colin Kaepernick showing up and playing well, and the NFL actually giving him a legitimate shot at, yes, you did perform well, here's an offer.
What do you think is going to come out of this?
I believe that, you know, Colin Kaepernick, he's been away from the game for 3 years. Mm-hmm. But when I think about Tom Brady being 40-some years old.
42 this
42,
year, is it, thereabouts?
And he's still able to compete. So I don't buy this thing like, well, he's been out for 3 years and he can't play anymore. Well, how do you explain an old man playing with, you know, 20-some-year-old guys? So physically, that's not it. So can he, when he was tested for the NFL, he's one of the smartest guys. I mean, like, brilliant. Mm. So is it he can't learn the plays? Well, I'm not believing that either. It has to be the right fit. And so if indeed he does have a good, because it's a one-day tryout, he would like to have more than that. But if he does play well, I would like to see him get that shot. Mm-hmm. Aren't we our nation? Don't most of us serve a God of second chances? So let's see what happens.
Yeah. Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, that's going on in the NFL. Meanwhile, down to the college level, UNC last night, another really, really, another fourth quarter comeback. So Sam Howell has, I think, more fourth quarter touchdowns than any other quarterback in the country right now. And another really, really close loss to Pitt in OT. Second overtime loss of the season?
Yes.
Yeah, including Virginia Tech. So, man, we're real close. We are really, really close to being like 8-2, 9-1, 4-6 is where we are right now. But you can see the corner. I just don't know how far away it is.
Well, you're exactly right. How far? I think Mack Brown did a job on us, mm-hmm. and we were willing, right? we're going to turn this around. We're going to a major bowl.
Yeah.
But I think people who follow football, follow the ACC, know that to get 5 wins, to get 6 wins is a good season for this team. Mm-hmm. And they can do that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Beating NC State, because I'm going to go ahead and put it out there, like most people, they'll beat Mercer.
Probably will beat Mercer, yeah.
But that NC State game is going to be it. Will either team be able to control the emotion around the rivalry? But there are some things about UNC football that still need to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
They are ranking 112 out of 130 teams in terms of red zone, as in what do you do in those last 20 yards? Can you get the ball in the end zone?
Mm-hmm.
They are struggling. And then, as you mentioned, losing the games when they're really close. 9 out of 10 games this season have been decided by a touchdown or less.
Yep.
So what is happening when we get close to the end zone? Is it Sam Howell, the not freshman, right?
Because
he's played above his head.
Right,
I mean, he's an
amazing
young man. I can't wait to see him in the NFL. Is it the offensive line?
Mm-hmm.
Not having the protection, whether it's for the running backs or for the quarterback. And then is it the play calling? Coach Longo's offense finished 107th. 93rd and 122nd in the same metric when he was at Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping Coach Longo, do your jobs, turn it around, do something, but people are watching the play calling.
Got a little bit more than a week before the next game against Mercer, but yeah, NC State's going to be the big one there at the end of the season. It always is, isn't it? Like one way or the other.
Yeah, that's what makes it special.
Exactly.
And certainly the way NC State has been dominating UNC football, I think Coach Mack now is starting to compete. Some people will say actually doing much better than NC State with some of this in-state talent, which is the first part of it. But you got to win on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Have to win on the field.
Listen to Cover 2 on WCHL weeknights during the 7 o'clock hour and weekends as well. Dr. Debbie Stroman, thank you so much.
Thank you.